Morning. It's good to worship with you this morning, wherever you might be, out in the Brevis Way, online, and present here. We ask that you would stand as we're going to have a really fun morning this morning as we prepare for Christmas. Want to read the first Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, written 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 7 says, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights.' But Ahaz thought, 'I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test.' Prophet Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel.'" 700 years later, an angel showed up to Joseph. Matthew 1, 21 through 23 says, "And she will give birth to a son," Mary, right? "And you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this day. As we awaken this day, we awaken to the thoughts, the true thoughts, that you exist and that you are here and you are real and you are with us, God. You are the Creator. We are your creation, whom you love. We thank you, God, that you are close. Even when we don't feel that you're close, you are close. That you are sovereign. That you know what you're doing. And you're at work today. Your purposes are being accomplished even now. We trust you, God. We declare you're a good God, and we love you this morning. Thank you, God, for being with us now, we ask in the name of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say, and it's good to see you. You may be seated, and welcome to the Christmas season. Christmas is less than 4 weeks away, and don't miss the tree lighting. I love the tree lighting service. Next Sunday, out in the courtyard from 4 to 5 o'clock, we're going to be setting up our own church Christmas tree. And we'll be singing Christmas carols, and we will be reading the Christmas story. And it's going to be just, our hope is that it's drawing you into the season. Hope it's drawing you. I don't know about you, I need Christmas this year. Do you? What a year. I need Christmas this year. I need the message of Christmas this year. I need the sounds of Christmas, the songs. I need the lights. I need Christmas this year, especially this year. As a matter of fact, so on Monday, we were putting up our Christmas tree, and we have a fake one. But my son said, "No, Dad, I want a real Christmas tree." And so he made me spend $80 to go buy a real Christmas tree because he wants the smells of Christmas. And so we went and got our Christmas tree, and we were putting it up last Monday. And as we were putting it up, Cinda brings out all our ornaments, and we're hanging them on the tree. And I am hanging this one on the tree, and I stopped for a moment and began reading it. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." And there's the prophet Isaiah, a prophecy. And here we were, we had Christmas music on, we're putting up the, and I just stopped and I thought about this for a second. And I thought about Jesus and the prophecies of Jesus. And I'm looking at Isaiah, and I was thinking about Isaiah. And for a moment, this hanging this ornament drew me into a deep thought that God is real. I was drawn into the thoughts of the prophet Isaiah. And I was drawn into the thoughts of my own journey of trying to understand, does God exist and is God real? And my own journey of reading the Gospels and reading about Jesus and asking these deep questions and coming to a place of faith. My journey of realizing that the Bible is historically accurate, the Bible is archaeologically accurate, the Bible is geographically accurate, the Bible is prophetically unbelievable. The God of the Bible proves that He's God through prophecy. And for me, it was the prophet Isaiah was the one that converted me, Isaiah 53. And I was looking at this ornament, and it was like God was saying, Frankie, I'm here and I'm real. And as I was thinking about this, I'm like, Lord, the Advent, the prophecy candle. See, our faith is the most intelligent faith on the planet. It's the most provable faith on the planet. What we assemble and believe in with Jesus is true, even in these days. And I was thinking about this. I said, wouldn't it be cool? And I began thinking about all the prophecies of Jesus found from the prophet Isaiah. A lot of our Christmas prophecies comes from the prophet Isaiah, like Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be cool to enter into Christmas this year and do a series called The Christmas Prophecies Found in Isaiah. Let's study some of the prophecies of Christmas found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And so that's what we're going to do here in the next few weeks. We're going to look at you read these prophecy verses, but what is this verse and what does it mean? And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to be looking at the Christmas prophecies found in one Old Testament prophet, the prophet Isaiah. See, Isaiah is so here we go. Before I even, you guys have got to realize that Isaiah is a very special prophet. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament is a very special prophet. One of my seminary professors one time quoted about Isaiah. He says, what Beethoven is in the realm of music, what Shakespeare is in the realm of literature, the prophet Isaiah is among all the prophets of the Old Testament. And Jesus would agree. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, I encourage you to. I want you to just take note of this. Note number one, Jesus quotes Isaiah more than any other Old Testament book. Jesus, in his ministry on planet Earth, quoted the prophet Isaiah more than any other prophet in the Old Testament. Jesus in Nazareth, he's handed the scroll. He grabs the scroll of Isaiah. He opens up Isaiah. He finds Isaiah 61. He reads Isaiah 61. He rolls up the scroll of Isaiah and he says, that is me. I fulfill this prophecy in your hearing. Jesus would open the scroll of Isaiah and quote to it all the time. This is proof of me. This is proof of me. This is proof of me. Jesus says you search the scriptures because you think that in the scriptures themselves you'll have eternal life. He says, and it's the scriptures that testify of me. The one he used the most was Isaiah. I'm proving to you I am the prophesied one. Isaiah is special, friends. Isaiah is special. The book of Isaiah is quoted 66 times in the New Testament by the New Testament writers, more than any other book. Not only does Jesus quote Isaiah, but the New Testament writers quote Isaiah more than any other book in the Old Testament. Take notes with me this morning. Here's a note that's pretty interesting. Note number two, 20 of the 27 New Testament books quotes the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is the most amazing prophet of the Old Testament. The name Isaiah means Jehovah saves or Jehovah is salvation. Isaiah is known as the messianic prophet. He speaks of the coming of Jesus more than any other book. And behold, that's why as I'm hanging this on a tree, it's the Isaiah, the prophet, is the one. Isaiah is special. He's special in the eyes of Jesus. He's special in the eyes of the New Testament writers. And friends, Isaiah is very special in the world of prophecy, in the world of archaeology, right? Isaiah is unique in prophecy. So, Dead Sea Scrolls. Isaiah is very special in archaeology. In 1948, a little shepherd's boy is down by the Dead Sea, and his sheep fell into one of these caves. As he went into the caves, he found a whole bunch of these containers, and when the little boy opened them up, he found scrolls of the Old Testament. And they began unrolling and seeing the scrolls of the Old Testament. This is the Isaiah cave. The scroll of Isaiah. Completely, perfectly preserved. Dated by scientists, this scroll of 100 years before Christ was born. In the Qumran caves, down by the Dead Sea. The most preserved scroll of the Old Testament is the Isaiah scroll. And I got this one at the museum in Israel. This is so treasured today. The Jewish people have their Old Testament, the oldest manuscripts, dated 100 B.C. And before the finding of these scrolls, their oldest Old Testament manuscripts were dated 1,100 years later. It's fun. When you go to Israel today, they treasure this scroll. And if you go to the Isaiah, or to the scroll in the museum, they have the scroll of Isaiah wrapped around inside of this beautiful building. And you can go up and look at the scroll of Isaiah. Very special and very precious. As a matter of fact, there's a picture of one of our presidents that was there, and Benjamin Netanyahu taking him to the scroll of Isaiah, reading the scroll of Isaiah. And he was reading to him the Hebrew translations. He's reading the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is special. I want you to understand this. Isaiah is special. We're going to be studying the prophecies of Isaiah. Christmas prophecies found in the book of Isaiah. I need you to understand and know this morning that Isaiah is very special. He's very special. In the eyes of Jesus, he's special. In the eyes of the New Testament writers, Isaiah is special. In the eyes of archaeology, Isaiah is special. In the eyes of this church, for your pastor was converted by the prophecies of Isaiah as a young man in my 20s. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Feldman, who spoke here as a Jewish rabbi here yesterday, he was converted by the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah is special. Most of your Christmas prophecies comes from this prophet. And I need you just to understand that. I'm hoping that you'll go, Isaiah is special. So who is the prophet Isaiah? Who was this prophet? And I need now to just have you, Professor Winans of Biola Seminary, teaching a class in hermeneutics, teaching about the prophets. The prophet's jobs are twofold. Whenever a prophet was given by God, the prophet's job is to foretell and forthtell. Forthtelling means that a prophet is to speak God's will and God's thoughts and God's intentions to a people at a specific time and a specific place. Prophecy is forthtelling and foretelling, hitting into the future. This prophecy is what will come true hundreds of years later. The prophet Isaiah forthtold and foretold, giving signs and prophecy happening before it takes place. And you need to at least know this, because of what we're going to do today with Isaiah 7 is both forthtelling and foretelling into the future. Isaiah, who was Isaiah? Isaiah is a prophet that was sent by God 700 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah was sent to the kings at that time, and he spoke on behalf of God at that moment, at that time in history. Isaiah comes one day to King Ahaz. King Ahaz is the king of Judah. He is in Jerusalem. Isaiah lives in Jerusalem. He is well acquainted with the royalty of Jerusalem. Isaiah is a prophet that lives in the days of the kings and lots of politics. And Isaiah one day comes up to King Ahaz, and King Ahaz has a problem because the country of Damascus, Syria, wants to invade and destroy him. And with the tribe of Ephraim, they are going to attack King Ahaz. King Ahaz is a worried king. And God told in Isaiah 7, the prophet Isaiah, you need to go tell the king that I got this covered. That these people are going to come and attack you, but don't worry about it, because there's a third nation that's coming that's going to wipe both of them out, called the Assyrian Empire. This is all Isaiah 7. So Isaiah, it's kind of cool when you read Isaiah 7, it meets with him at these pools, these pools that are in the northern part up by the temple area. And Isaiah meets the king and he says, I have a message from God to you. And he tells him this prophecy. It's a prophecy we read this morning. Don't worry about what's going to come. And ask for a sign to prove that what God is saying is true. And Isaiah says, oh, I don't need a sign. He says, will you try the patience of man? Will you try the patience of God? God is going to give you a sign that a virgin will be with a child. And this virgin will give birth to this kid, and before this kid's even smart enough or mature enough to eat solid food and to have moral discretion, your problems will end. And Isaiah gives the king the prophecy. And when you read the prophecy, it doesn't sound very Christmassy. And yet, we read later on the angel saying, it is. Huh. The word sign in Hebrew is plural. It's fourth and four. Isaiah gives the prophecy to Ahaz, and Ahaz, I'm sure, just says, yeah, thanks so much, and blows it off. The people at the time of Isaiah was blowing off God. The leaders at the time of Isaiah was blowing off God. When we read Isaiah 1, it sets the stage of what the prophet Isaiah had to deal with in the day. God's people are in rebellion. And I want to read, before we read Isaiah 7, and you need to enter into the context of what's happening. And Isaiah 1 gives us a context of what's going on. Isaiah 1, 2 through 4 says, hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger or a feeding trough, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and they've turned their backs on Him. This is what Isaiah is speaking to. How many people in here, do you own an animal? Do you have a dog? When you walk in the, so this is our dog. This is Rosie. This is our attack dog. When I come home today and I open the door, Rosie runs up. She's so glad to see me. She's a 7-pound Yorkie, right? When I walk in the door, she's happy. She runs around. She rolls over, wants me to pet her. There's an old saying, God help me be the person my dog thinks I am, right? Do you have an animal? Does your animal know you, understand you, love you, respect you, happy to see you, so glad that you're home? They recognize you. See, Israel doesn't recognize its God. And this is who Isaiah is speaking to, a group of people that have blown off the Lord. And not only a people, but look at Isaiah 1:23. You rulers are rebels, God says. You're partners with thieves. They all love bribes. Imagine a politician taking a bribe. They chase after gifts. Can you imagine a group of politicians maybe getting gifts, going to Hawaii for You rulers are rebels, partners with thieves. They all have bribes and they chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. See, God's people are a mess and God's leaders are a mess. And God sends the prophet Isaiah to speak to his people. And it's forthtelling. He's talking to these people. You people stink. And you need to get right with God. And that's the job of a prophet. King Ahaz is a real piece of work. In the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, it tells us about Ahab. It just kind of gives a tapestry of his life. It says this in 2 Kings 16, 2 and 3. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. Ahaz is a Baal worshiper. In order to worship the Canaanite god Baal, you sacrifice your firstborn child in burning sacrifice to appease the god of the Canaanites. And though Ahaz is supposed to be a Jew and the king of Judah, he's worshiping Baal. And can you imagine sacrificing your firstborn child to a Canaanite god? Remember Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal? This is Ahaz. Isaiah is speaking to a group of people that stink. They've blown off the Lord. God, Isaiah is speaking to rulers that are not walking with God. And yet the king of Judah is going to be attacked by two kingdoms. And God says, I'm going to show you that I'm God. And he says, I'm going to give you a prophecy. Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord for us, your God, for a sign, whether in the deepest heights or in the highest, the deepest depths or the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Is he godly? No. He says, who am I to test the Lord? Yet he follows Baal and sacrifices his kids to this false god. He's a piece of work, but a politician. Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? But will you try the patience of God also? Translation, Ahaz, you hypocrite. From Isaiah, you hypocrite. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. It's plural. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And he will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. And after the prophet Isaiah tells Ahaz this, they both go their separate ways. And I'm sure King Ahaz just blew off the prophecy. Probably even blew off that Isaiah is even a real prophet. But then something happens. Shortly after this, an unmarried young woman in the royal house of Ahaz, a virgin, gets married and she shortly conceives. And at the time of naming the child in the king's presence, the parents announce that the kid's name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Ahaz is sitting there, he probably knows this royal maiden, understands, oh, that's nice, and all of a sudden, he's surprised to hear that they've named the kid Emmanuel. Can you see Ahaz's eye? Oh, what? And he's in his mind going, she was not married when Isaiah talked to me, and now she is and has conceived, and they named the kid Emmanuel. It's a sign. Do you think that he went coincidence? It's a sign to the king. King Ahaz goes, whew. And before the kid is old enough to eat solid food, curds and honey, before this child is old enough to have moral discretion, the nations that threatened Jerusalem are gone. And it all happens. It's all history. In 733, 732 BC, a year or two after this prophecy was given, the Assyrians laid waste to Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel, and these two nations never threatened the kingdom again. Do you think that Ahaz could say coincidence? It's a sign. Take notes with me this morning. Note number 3. What was the purpose of the prophetic sign of Isaiah 7 to King Ahaz? This was the purpose of the sign. I am the true God who is with you. Believe in me and follow me. That was the purpose of the sign. God sent this sign 700 years before Jesus was born. Well, what's the purpose of the sign? The sign was to the king of Judah, Ahaz, a real piece of work. And the sign was a sign saying, I am God. I am real. Follow me. I am sovereign. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of King David, who you sit on his throne and his dynasty, and you've blown me off. It's a sign from God saying, I'm here, I'm real, follow me. Did Ahaz follow him? No. Happens. God gives signs to people all the time, and they won't listen, and they don't follow. Look at our life today. The sign is plural. The sign was not just given back in the days of King Ahaz, but for the future. Okay? 700 years later, this sign was given to the house of David, to the dynasty of the Jewish nation at the time of Jesus. And the angel says it, the prophecy. She will give birth to a son, Matthew 1, 21 through 23. Joseph is like, man, I don't want to marry Mary. She's pregnant. She's been messing around. Angel speaks to him. No, 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 son. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, at the time of King Ahaz, the person was a virgin at the time of the prophecy, not at the time of birth. But with Mary, she will be a virgin at the time of birth, fulfilling not just Isaiah 7, friends, but Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, when mankind falls and God begins giving curses to Adam and to Eve and to Satan, and he tells Satan in Genesis 3, 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, but you will strike his heel. The prophecy is that from the seed of woman, one will come up that will destroy the works of Satan. Does it say anything in there about a guy? Prophecy. Jesus is the fulfillment, the fullest fulfillment of Isaiah 7 and Genesis 3. Jesus is the fullest fulfillment of Emmanuel, God with us. He's literally God in human flesh. The one born of a virgin woman. It's a sign. It was a sign. It was a sign 700 years later in the days of Jesus. Take notes with me this morning. Note number 4. What was the purpose of the prophetic sign in the days of Jesus? I am the prophesied one. Believe in me and follow me. It was a sign to the people and to the dynasty of David, to the Jewish nation, that the Messiah has been born of a virgin birth, fulfilling not just Isaiah 7, but Genesis 3. The Messiah has come. It's a sign for you to believe in Jesus and follow him. And for 2,000 years, Jewish people, Messianic Jews, have believed. Rabbi Feldman was up here speaking yesterday to a the Messianic Jewish congregation. And even the Gentiles have been allowed to come in. For the last 2,000 years, non-Jews like me, who's given my life to following a Jewish rabbi who I believe is a Messiah, for 2,000 years, it's a sign that Jesus is real. It's a sign that God is here. It's a sign in the days of Ahaz. It's a sign in the days when Jesus was born. And it's a sign to us today. That's the note number 5. This is Isaiah 7 is a sign that the God of Israel is real. That He's with you today. And that our job is to believe and to follow Him. That God, Emmanuel, is with us, watching out for us. And friends, what is the mission of Jesus? We just studied it this morning. No one can do communion like Pastor Graham. Do I hear an amen? He draws you to the cross, born to die. What is the mission of Jesus? She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Emmanuel, because he will save his people from their sins. The greatest problem in humanity is sin. Pastor Graham's right. Jesus came to deal with your sin and my sin. The biggest problem that you and I have is our sins before a holy God. See, I don't know if you've heard the rumor or not, but all of you in here are going to die one day. Have you read the statistics on death? It's very disturbing. 1 out of 1. For you to be with a holy God, you need a Savior. And that's why God sends His Son, Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you would become the righteousness of God. I say it before, I say it again. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus prepares us for eternity through His sacrifice on the cross, washing you clean of sin. And He goes to prepare a place for you in heaven. This is big stuff. In the day of Isaiah, politics dominated the news. In the day of Isaiah, politics dominated the newspapers. Kings, good kings, bad kings. He was the prophet to about 4 or 5 kings in Judah alone. In the day of Isaiah, politics dominated the day. In the day of Jesus being born, politics dominated the day. King Herod killing babies in Bethlehem. Which Caesar is reigning in Rome? And in the midst of all this, something bigger happens. God brings signs that He's here and that He's real, that you should believe in Him and you should follow Him. More bigger things happening than politics. And there I am hanging this on our Christmas tree on Monday night. Little did I know that by Wednesday I would have another fire up where I live up in Foothill Ranch. And here we are in the midst of the pandemic getting worse. And I'm hanging this. And for a moment as I'm reading it, it's drawing me back. Isaiah. Signs of God's presence. As I'm hanging this on a tree, I'm going, Lord, You are real. And You are here. I don't always know what You're doing, but I know You exist, and I know You're here, and I know that You love me, and You got me covered. I'm hanging it on a tree, and I'm sitting there going, Lord, I need Christmas this year. I need to once again meditate on the meaning of why Christmas is so awesome, the message of Christmas. And I was thinking, and I need to read again the prophet that brings the Christmas message to us through Isaiah. And I was sitting there going, if I need to hear this, maybe you do too. So behold, the first Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. The first Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 7. A sign will be given to you that a virgin will be with child, and she will give birth, Emmanuel, God will be in your midst. The sign, the message for you this morning, God is with you. Will you listen? Ahaz blew it off. Will you follow? Ahaz blew it off. God gives you a sign. He's with you. It's going to be okay. There are bigger things at play than politics. There are bigger things at play than COVID-19. There are bigger things at play in the world right now. See and listen and follow. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. May the Spirit of the living God speak into our hearts today. Lord, we are listening. We are on our own journey to meet and know and follow Jesus. Who is Jesus and why did he come? Emmanuel, God is with us. He saves his people from their sins. He destroys the work of the evil one. He takes us, sinners, and transforms us into saints as he pays the penalty of our sin and washes us clean in the resurrection of Christ. Jesus, we honor you today as you were born to die for us. For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon him will never perish, but have eternal life. Bigger things at play. Bigger things at play. I pray for my brothers and sisters in here, Jesus. Would you whisper in their ear that you are present with them? Not one thing happens in their life that you're not aware of. That you are closer than any friend. That you're intimately acquainted with all our ways. And Lord, you've never loved us more than you love us today. I pray for anyone who's watching or here, who's yet to accept Jesus. I pray that you would accept Christ today. That you would recognize that this thing that we speak about with Jesus is not something that's made up in the mind of humanity, but it's provable faith. It's signs from God that he's real and here. I invite you today to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior in your life. To pray a prayer like this. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of the Living God, Jesus the Prophesied One, I accept you this morning in my heart and in my life. I ask, Jesus, that you would take away my sins from me and wash me white as snow, that you would forgive me from the cross, that you would send your Spirit into my life, and that you would prepare a place for me in heaven. Adopt me as your child, and allow me to enter your kingdom. I pray this by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand with us and let's sing the prophecy of God with us, Emmanuel.